Hi, this is Dan Zhang here with Subversity here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. We're going to be focusing on the issues of immigration, and many of us also went to this rally on Saturday, actually, here in Costa Mesa, and some of the material that was passed out, we can cover that right now. There were many groups that were organized over this rally, including different groups in the community, mainstream as though is more activist oriented, if you can call some of the business groups mainstream, and also groups that are larger, like there's an Answer LA group, answerla.org. The ANSWER Coalition. ANSWER stands for Act Now to Stop War and End Racism. And they were also there, and they gave out a leaflet which argues that they support the struggle of the immigrant community to win rights that all people should enjoy. And it believes that all working people should back the demand, amnesty, full rights for all immigrants. So they there were signs carried there that called for amnesty instead of what is being debated on in Congress, which is not amnesty. Immigration, it argues, this leaflet, for instance, argues that immigration has increased in recent years because of U.S. neoliberal policies that rob countries like Mexico of the ability to develop and sustain their own economies. Thousands of people die trying to cross the border to survive. And the media, government, and corporations boast of the global economy that eliminates borders to enrich them. But those same companies and politicians, both Republican and Democrat, are erecting borders against humans and waging war on immigrant America, says this leaflet from the ANSWER Coalition, which is calling for amnesty, full rights for all immigrants now. What's behind the attacks on immigrants, it says? They are terrorizing and criminalizing immigrants through repressive legislation, like what they call the Racist Sensenbrenner Bill, H.R. 4437, while instructing the police to carry out arbitrary arrests, raids, and deportations. They are militarizing the U.S.-Mexico border and hoping to add 700 miles to the massive border wall. They're blocking aid for immigrants and refusing to grant driver's licenses to undocumented workers. Politicians and corporations and politicians, this leaflet says, want to brutalize the people who work the hardest to keep society functioning. Immigrants contribute billions to the U.S. economy, and many, especially the undocumented, receive no benefits in return. Yet who cultivates, harvests, and packages the food we eat? Who sews the clothes that fill shopping centers? Who cleans the hotel rooms and offices of every U.S. city and town? Immigrants actively participate and work in all walks of life. Why then would the government want to attack those who contribute so much to the economy? They want to repress immigrants so that their corporate allies get more profits, according to this leaflet. Repressive laws and terror campaigns allow them to exploit immigrants furthermore, driving down wages and working conditions for all workers. That's why racist politicians and media hacks are scapegoating immigrants for everything wrong in society. But immigrants aren't the real cause of unemployment or crime. It's the rotten system that puts profit over people. So this is what the Amnesty International, not Amnesty International, the ANSWER LA organization, they asked for amnesty, but they are not Amnesty International. They asked for amnesty, and they're the ANSWER Coalition in Los Angeles. They have a petition on their website, and you can check that out at answerla.org about this issue. The Hermandad Mexicana, which is a local group in Orange County in Santa Ana. Nativo Lopez organized this group, and he has issued a press release, and it says, "We love all residents of Costa Mesa. Costa Mesa does not need Mayor Alan Mansur. The Corona Mansur Police Migra plan is doomed to fail." So this was a press release issued that was released and distributed at the rally on Saturday in Costa Mesa. It says, "The policy enacted by the Costa Mesa City Council to permit local law enforcement officers to operate as agents of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, for the purpose of enforcing federal immigration laws is a sneak preview of H.R. 4437, commonly known as the Sensbrenner Bill. Costa Mesa is a city with one of the lowest crime rates in Orange County and California, and therefore there does not exist any justification for this policy. It's merely based on the ideological and political agenda of the extreme right wing represented in the person of Mayor Alan Mansur and his two council allies." So this is what the statement for Hermandad Mexicana says. "A little more than 60 days ago, we convened a press conference in front of Costa Mesa City Council and declared our vigorous opposition to this policy and our intention to launch an economic boycott of Costa Mesa on April 1st if the City Council did not revoke this policy. Well, we have now reached the day of reckoning," says this statement. "The response from the business community of all races, nationalities, immigrant groups, immigrant backgrounds, and size of business have been overwhelmingly favorable to the cause of ending the Mansur Police Migra plan in Costa Mesa. The religious community has spoken loudly in opposition. Neighborhoods and community organizations are roundly opposed. The youth have spoken clearly in the matter, and the trade union organizations have firmly denounced the plan. It is more apparent today than ever that Mayor Alan Mansur and his two council allies are completely isolated, and their plan has been repudiated by the vast majority of Costa Mesa residents. Therefore, today, we announce that we love all residents of Costa Mesa, and we love the city," says a statement, "its better half, and that we have no intention of launching an economic boycott. We intend to unite still broader sectors of the city and work to remove Mansur and his allies from political office in the next city election. He has abused his authority," says his statement, "and sought to impose a narrow political agenda that does not conform to the will of the majority." The statement ends by saying, "We want to thank the political and economic leadership of civil society for their reasonableness. This reaffirms our belief that the anti-immigrant agenda so loudly espoused by the likes of the vigilante Minutemen represent a small fraction of our great country." So this was a statement from the Santa Ana-based Hermandad Mexicana, basically calling off their proposed economic boycott of the city. They did not explain why they called it off, but I suspect it's because there was a split in the community over whether or not this would benefit the community. If there was an economic boycott, then Latinos especially who have businesses and small shops in the area would also not benefit. So why hurt yourself? So anyway, that's called off, this economic boycott that was organized by the organizers of this Mexicana, Hermandad Mexicana, Latino Americana, actually the full name. You're listening to Subversity here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. With us is Amin David, who's the leader of Los Amigos in Orange County. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dan. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah. What do you think of that rally this Saturday in Costa Mesa?
Well, you know, we were very pleased with it in spite of the inclement weather. We had, I would estimate, a little over 2,000 people. And it was a very peaceful, wonderful expression of our feeling about a just immigration policy that should be coming down, we hope.
Do you think the Senate bill or the House bill, the House bill was changed by a committee in the Senate to take out some of the felonies that were worrisome to a lot of activist groups? But do you think it's sufficient, the Bracero? It seems like a repeat of the Bracero program from before.
Well, you know, it has some very punitive type of proposed legislation there, Dan, that we're very fearful of. It even awoke the standing of the Catholic Church to the degree that Cardinal Mahoney stated that they will not comply with such requirements. And I don't think it will evolve into that kind of a situation. The Senate seems to be using their head a little bit better.
Right.
And we're very hopeful that the Senate will prevail, the Senate version will prevail. Now, we don't know what happens when they call the conference between the House and the Senate. You know, what happens there? What are the mechanics? How is it compromised? I'm not sure how that happens. We are hopeful that it will come out to what the president is talking about, because there's always that possibility of the veto from the president. He has not said that, but he certainly has inferred it, Dan. So
veto the felony provisions.
Well, yeah. If it comes out more Sensenbrenner than anything else, then we should hope for a presidential veto. But if it does come out with the elements that the president has been talking about, such as a pathway to legalization with certain requirements being met and so forth, it makes sense. It makes sense.
Why not amnesty outright?
Well, you know, I hate to use that word because that's a buzzword for people. But I think I'd like to say it's a pathway to legalization. All else being equal, each person should be able to qualify for what the new law we expect it to say. No convictions, nothing in the background. I guess they have to pay a fine and be gainfully employed for a period of time, pay back, if any, Social Security and or IRS taxes, things of this nature, which I think are fair and reasonable.
Some people are saying, though, that this is more like keeping people at low wages to come and work here.
Well, evidently, you know, all of the business elements involved in the United States wants that to happen because they need the low-wage population to still persist so that the majority of the people can enjoy the fruits of the hard-working immigrant labor. So,
do you think that institutionalized kind of slave labor?
Of course it is. Yes, it is. It has to be. It has to be classified as that. And it's been going on for decades and decades. The slave labor has to continue to exist.
So you support that?
No, I would like to see, you know, everyone. I would like to see legalization, a pathway to legalization for the purported 11 to 12 million undocumented that are here, that they qualify for it, of course, and then a systematic way of bringing in workers from not only our southern neighbor, but from all over where they have a need to fill jobs here, but at a decent, affordable living wage.
That's great to hear you say that. Yeah,
absolutely.
So the one reason, I suppose, the businesses are supporting it because they need these workers.
They do need it, yes. You know, we all are aware of it, but we just don't want to frankly admit it. They're a necessary part of our system, necessary part. The fortunate thing about it is that once they are the, quote, slaves, they can move out of it by education and by just by bootstraps, bring themselves up. That vacuum will be filled by another and on down the line.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we have actually in the studio another guest actually that just
sure.
came, John O from the labor organizer from the community.
Sure.
Welcome, John.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of this proposal to give wages, bring in people, create this path to legalization?
Well, I'm all for giving wages to people, and I think that it's probably the best proposal of the moment.
Yeah.
And perhaps what Kennedy and McCain are proposing, but I like to see a kind of organizing across borders so that we can prevent this kind of program from having to exist and just give workers a decent union wage wherever they are. And we need to organize across borders. We need to fight NAFTA. We need to fight the corporate imperialism of the United States corporations in Mexico and in Central America, which is really at the root of much of the immigration, the cause of the flow of immigration to this country.
So you're saying we need to address why people come to America?
Yes, and I have no problem with them being here regardless, but I think we need to address that issue because much of the economy in Mexico is being destroyed by NAFTA, by World Trade Organization, and so on. But we've had this economic imperialism going on from the United States and Mexico for over 100 years, but it's accelerated, of course, in the last 10 years with these so-called free trade agreements. We need to replace those with fair trade agreements.
Yes. Do you think how many people, how many of the people who are coming in undocumented, what percentage is from Mexico and what percentage from other parts of Central and South America?
I've seen several kind of figures on that. But just Sunday, there was a large article by an Asian writer that says, don't forget, there's close to 500,000 Chinese undocumented around
mm-hmm.
that have been systematically and brought in to the United States. So the preponderance of, I think, the large number of people that are coming are from our southern neighbors, of course, of Mexico. And there's some, of course, we have to recognize from Central and maybe even as far as South America. But the Central sending countries are an important element to consider.
Is it more people from the outside of Mexico on the East Coast? Like I was just in Atlanta a few weeks ago, and there were a lot of actually immigrant workers there too.
Uh-huh. Sure, they're moving out. They know that... The sanctuary of Los Angeles is one in the West Coast, but there's other places where the large manufacturing concerns, packing plants, that kind of work needs this kind of slave labor, and they use them.
You use the word slave labor, but it's, you know, I mean, is any of the Mexican-American groups trying to change that?
Well, yes, we are, but the most important thing right now we're so preoccupied is what the law is ultimately going to come out displaying. The other element that's coupled to these demonstrations and so forth is the responsibility that we have to make sure that each and every one that is eligible to register to vote is encouraged to do so. That's primary. We've set our sights on the next realizable element is in the Costa Mesa political arena. I think we can cope with that. We can really do it. It's a small city, and we want to change the thinking politically there, and that's our next step.
Were you impressed with the size of the crowd?
Of course, especially, you know, how the weather was and it was cold and so forth. And the city of Costa Mesa cordoned off but a small piece where we were able to march, as you might remember. They even cordoned off that we couldn't use the public parking.
Yeah, it was
right
ridiculous.
Next to it. Now,
yeah, the university
for
there.
Them to, to cordon off and create a wall for the city hall and so forth. Okay, but why impede us from parking in the public parking?
Right, people had to walk quite far.
Of course. You know, it made really no comfortable sense at all. But that's okay. We took it in stride.
I think they were worried. They were worried there would be more people.
You know, and the weather, I'm sure, prevented families with children to come because of the threat of getting sick.
But a huge group.
And I don't blame them.
A huge group marched from 19th and Placentia.
Right.
Yeah, I was part of that group.
You did march?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we started at 19th and Placentia. When I arrived there about 8 o'clock, it looked pretty bad. There were about 20 people there, and I thought the rain was
going. Oh, at 8 o'clock? Yeah, you got there very
right.
early.
But by the time that we got started, there were about 200 or 250, and then by the time we started walking a few blocks, we had 350, 400 people in that contingent.
I see.
But I wanted to go back to something you said when you asked about the percentage of immigrants from one place or another. And Eamon brought up that there are about 500,000 Chinese immigrants. It's interesting that Congressman Rohrabacher, more than a year ago, when he was talking about the immigration issue, and he's taking this anti-immigration stance that the Orange County Republican Party has adopted. And he said that in his view, and I'm not sure exactly why, the worst type of immigration was coming from China. That was what he said. That was the most dangerous.
I don't know what he means by that.
And I don't know. Maybe we need to ask him about that. But he's been ranting on this subject. But he was most concerned, he said, about the Chinese immigrants. I don't, I'm not really sure why.
Maybe because the way they smuggled in?
No, he didn't care about that. He didn't care about he didn't care. He wasn't thinking about their rights. He was thinking about something else.
Oh.
But also I wanted to say we need to look at the base of this whole anti-immigrant movement here, this nativist, neo-fascist movement here. This is also based on a neocon idea that this country was formed by Anglos and Protestants, and that they have a certain work ethic. And there's this racist notion that the people from Mexico, and this is written in their literature, the people from Mexico do not share this work ethic, that they are lazy, that they don't want to try to get ahead, and so on. Of course, we know this is absolutely absurd.
Uh-huh.
The whole idea of them coming here contradicts that. But there's also a religious component here. And I was speaking to Wiley Drake, who is the wild preacher who does the invocations for the Minutemen on a regular basis. And he said flat out to me, he said, this immigration war is a holy war. The people in Mexico have the wrong religion. So there are, and he was very frank about it, and he has a large following supposedly on his radio show. And so there is a religious and racist element. Barbara Coe, who was one of the mayor's big supporters in Mansouria or Costa Mesa, Mansour supporters, is a member or founding member and director of the California Coalition for Immigration Reform, but she's also a member of an organization, I think it's called Council for Concerned Conservatives or something like that. Anyways, it's a white supremacist organization that comes out of the South and is an outgrowth of the Ku Klux Klan. And one of the allies of the mayor, Martin Millard, who's been involved and was appointed by the council majority in Costa Mesa to a citizens' commission that deals with social issues for the poor and redevelopment, is a neo-Nazi writer for NationalVanguard.com, which is a part of the neo-Nazi movement. So there are some not so subtle and some very subtle elements of fascism and racism involved in this, and that's what we're up against.
Uh-huh.
What is this Citizens for Constitutional Rights group that has formed now?
It's just a coalition of various organizations. Los Amigos joined that when there was a press conference at the Costa Mesa City Hall. And we called for this April 1st rally.
Economic boycott, right, at first.
And also economic boycott that I think has been taken and rescinded on that aspect of it.
Why was it rescinded?
I don't know. I think Nativo should explain it a little bit better than I could. But it makes sense. Okay. I don't think we want to injure any any innocent type of business along that line.
There's a lot of immigrants run small businesses in Costa Mesa.
A lot of them.
The actions by the city council to create this ICE program of using from Immigration Customs Enforcement to train the police has created its own boycott, really, in effect, because many people are afraid in the Chicano community to go out to the businesses that they normally would go to the restaurants and so on, or going to other communities. This is what the business owners are reporting, at least, that their business is down by 30-40%. So there's already the mayor has and his Minuteman majority or Minuteman junta there in Costa Mesa has created this boycott already. And what we've been doing with the group that I've been working with, the Colectivo Tonantzin, is going out in the community and asking them, well, what do you want to do? And one of the things we've been doing is directing our boycott or our protest in a targeted fashion towards, for example, in one aspect, Councilman Gary Monahan, and he owns a restaurant and pub on 20th and Newport Boulevard in Costa Mesa. We go out there every Friday from 6 to 9 to protest out in front of his restaurant, and we're going to continue doing that this Friday. Also, we want to continue the momentum of this march, this wonderful march that we had Saturday and that we had the previous Saturday. We want people to come out to the city council meeting on Tuesday, this Tuesday, as they've been doing, you know, off and on with greater or lesser numbers, but this time to really get a lot of people out there from at 6 o'clock during the public comments to tell those elected officials there that whether we're registered to vote or not, we have a say in this community that immigrants work in and that they sustain this community. So you have to listen to us.
For sure. You know, the slogan, I guess, of the Citizens for Constitutional Rights is saying that the Corona plan, the Michael Corona's plans, is against that too, because Mike Corona is the sheriff.
Juan Corona, the Migra Corona, I think is what you mean, right?
Corona's plan is he's also trying to implement this ICE program among the sheriff's department.
Yes,
is that right? Are you on are you on the sheriff's advisory committee?
Yes.
Has that come up?
For the last year, he's been bringing these proposals to the sheriff's advisory committee, and we have consistently, 100% told him we are not in favor of it, that we would like him to cease and desist trying to implement it, but he has continued the forces necessary to bring it about. What are those forces? Well, we understand that he has already applied for funding and approval from ICE. This was done even though no approval has been granted yet by the supervisors. The supervisors are unaware formally about this program other than informal, maybe talks with Corona. And so I guess the next step is to make sure that we stop this proposal at the supervisor level.
Are you guys going to do anything, the advisory committee?
Well, we have already met with four of the five supervisors. Campbell has not agreed to meet with us yet because he sets his appointment for us 3 months in the future. And
he's busy, you guys.
It would make it funny.
Yeah.
You know, so consequently, we met with the others, and we're ready to speak to it when it does appear on the agenda in a formal way. And I think we've got a pretty good case to argue before them. One is the price, the cost involved, and two is the possible profiling and its consequences.
It seems I'm surprised the sheriff would want to do that because from what I understand, the Costa Mesa police chief is against doing it.
Yes,
right?
we're quite taken aback by the fact that in Costa Mesa, nearly all of the police officers are against it, and certainly the chief. Here, also, we know we sense the reluctance of the sheriff deputies to be involved in that. And I think we would find it just throughout the local police enforcement population that they don't want to get involved in something so intricate and so delicate as that. Not only because it really impinges upon the right ability to patrol the city and prevent crime in the city, but the chill factor that it sends. And this is what thugs are just waiting for to happen, because they'll move in knowing that our citizens, especially Latino immigrant, would not call for assistance and would not help out in the solution of crime problems and so forth. And that just makes for a terrible situation.
For sure.
And, you know, we've told, Sheriff Corona that what he wants to be able to do, he's already been able to do it. That is, pick up the felon, pick up anybody that is arrested for whatever reason, take him to his county jail. The county jail has ICE officers there,
right,
that do that.
They already have it. Yeah,
they already have it. So why is it? So our thinking is it now political? The two strikes that Corona has in a political manner, he wants to recoup? I don't know. It's just unsettling.
You know, there isn't anything, and this, of course, applies to the city Costa Mesa's proposal. There isn't anything that the mayor says he wants to do that isn't already done.
Correct.
Thousands of law enforcement officer, chiefs and officers already across this country call up ICE after the suspect is in jail to check on their immigration status. They have 3,500 agents and workers, not 2,000, as the mayor has stated. And so what the irony of this is that what's actually going to happen is that there will be fewer criminals deported because of this, because they were going to be hiding out. So it's just a big sham.
Now, I don't know. Underground,
what, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what Corona's thing is with this, but it's interesting that those politicians in this county who have expressed an interest in this or supporting it are all running for something. Or all potential runners for something. The mayor of Costa Mesa has been anointed as, quote, God's child by Mr. Morlach, and as the future of the Republican Party of Orange County. Now, that's pretty frightening.
Who's Morlach?
The county treasurer, so who's running for supervisor. So this is rather frightening.
I mean, is there music in the background in your...
Yes.
You calling, can we turn it down?
Of course, hold on.
Yeah,
I'll
turn it off.
Like it, but yeah.
Yeah. what do you think, John, did you see the newspaper in LA Times this morning?
Got it.
Okay. The newspaper this morning in the Orange County section of the LA Times had a story about these three women that are drawing the line in the sand at day labor sites. They're jotting down the license plate numbers of employers and reporting it to ICE.
Yes, there's an organization, too, that's part of the Minutemen Ally group.
Well, it's called Gilchrist Angels.
Okay,
Gilchrist Angels.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
So these are like whatever.
What's going on out there at a lot of these day labor centers is that people who are either allied with Gilchrist or in his group are going out there and psychologically and in some cases even physically terrorizing immigrants at these day labor centers and the employers. They are committing extortion, because what they're doing in some cases is coming up to the employer after the potential employee is in the car, and they're saying, well, if the immigrant gets out of the car, we won't report you to ICE because what you're doing is illegal right now. Well, they haven't done anything illegal there, and they're telling them that the day labor centers where they have official ones are illegal and so on. So this is going on, and you can see their videos of this on immigrantwatchdog.com or .org or whatever. And you'll see them harassing people who are even citizens but who are of Mexican descent out there at these day labor centers and taunting women, laughing at them. It's a real, very racist type of harassment that's going on. Gilchrist recently just said, he was quoted in the Register too. Keep this in mind now. As part of the backlash to the demonstrations for human rights that have been coming out, he said that the Minutemen may have their own insurrection and that it may be violent, and that although he's not going to advocate insurrection or violence, he's not going to do anything to stop his followers from committing it.
Their website is the Gilchrist Angels website is We Hire www.wehirealiens.com.
Right, that's where they that's their little database where they have all kinds of questionable information. Anyways,
so it's not clear that that any or all of these people are undocumented. You don't know who gets into the car.
They don't have any idea really.
Right.
They just assume it. And I've seen where they. And then they have a when they scare the employer from doing this, and the worker gets out of the car. Then on their video, they say big letters come across the screen. It says abortion, and then they have music and so on. It's a very degrading. Yes, this is a very degrading, dehumanizing approach that they have to this whole thing. So
is this all over the county, or is it
scattered about? They don't.
The
really,
story was about Lake Forest.
Yeah, they've been doing it at Lake Forest. They've been doing it in Burbank and Glendale, and it's kind of scattered about. But, you know, they don't really have – the good part of this is that their numbers really aren't that great. They you know, you'll notice – and Eamon, you saw this too out there this Saturday. They had 10 or 20 – about 20 people out there to our 1,000.
Correct.
So in Los Angeles, I read on their websites they had like two or something. Two people is what they reported.
Yeah, but it's interesting how the press gives them, you know, equal, quote, billing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they have three people. And
they gave
get,
a lot
yeah.
of interest
yep.
to those dozen or so or,
yep.
On Saturday down at Costa Mesa. And they give them the equal billing. That concept, what is it, balances out 1,000 or more people marching for it.
Right, and they've been doing this all along.
All
like
along.
With Lou Dobbs, who constantly is misreporting facts on his anti-immigrant rant program that's on every single day. And, in fact, there's a good article on that in the L.A. Times the other day. But yeah, this has been going on all along. These squeaky wheels who really... Even among the people who are very concerned about immigration, who may disagree with us, most of them do not agree with the approach of Mr. Gilchrist and these other vigilantes. But they're the ones who are guiding the much of the legislative process, at least until recently. Now we'll have to see what happens.
Right,
John, you interviewed Gilchrist, and he came across. Did he come across as? As more nuanced than you thought.
Well, in the interview for my website OCOrganizer.com, if I can plug that, which will be a print newspaper soon, by the way. He actually said some surprising things, and he said first of all that he had voted for Peter Camejo, the Green Party candidate, in 2003. He said that he supported. Nonviolent revolution in Mexico, and I said, well, what about the United States? He said, yes, he supported that, he railed against corporations. He said he wasn't sure that he really wanted to deport everybody, that maybe he would support a hybrid amnesty, and he has all these kinds. Of course, then after that was about a month before he ran, or a month and a half before he ran for office and as a Reagan Republican. And although he did in the interview express some really racist feelings, this fear of being surrounded by people who don't speak English and so on. But other than that, he had some progressive things to say. And then the conservatives that were supporting Campbell got this interview and started playing it on the radio and stuff and started using it against him. And then it went crazy, basically, and it started accusing the Green Party of being terrorists and trying to kill an 80-year-old woman and who was a supporter and all kinds of nonsense. He comes across, if you see the interviews that I've done of him or on the web there, the video and what have you, and his audio remarks, you'll see not just Gilchrist, but these people like Barbara Koh, they act like lunatics. And she will say, she literally said last Saturday, or two Saturdays ago, she said, the immigrants are coming from Mexico to kill us. They are coming to massacre us. She said, literally, they are coming to massacre us. And she describes them as savages, barbarians, terrorists, and so on. And they do not differentiate. They have their websites that, and you'll go to their websites, even the website by Martin Millard, the neo-Nazi ally of Mr. Mansour. And you'll see a lot of times on there, you'll see every Mexican who's accused of child molestation or murder or something, is up on the website, and this is their typology for the entire immigration movement, and so this is kind of a Nazi propaganda tactic, is what it is.
Uh huh. Wow.
It's using the extreme kind of examples to kind of blacklist the
whole
group.
It's exactly what the Hitler used Nazis to do. Did to get at the Jews. Absolutely. Yeah.
So is there any, I mean, is there any way to talk to these people to get them to reason?
Some of them. I've actually had converse and seen other people who you will have conversation. There is, I think the common ground that you can find, not with the hardcore fanatics who are always out there,
right,
but with people who may be lured into this because they don't know the whole breadth of the issues yet, common ground is that there's a lot of scared workers out there and on both sides of the fence.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to do, and what I try to do, is reach out to them on that and say, you know, we shouldn't be fighting ourselves as workers. We should be fighting our common enemy, which is these corporations and their puppets in our government that are causing this problem here and by NAFTA and so on. Let's not fall for the oldest union-busting, worker-dividing trick of corporations in the world, which is to divide ourselves among ethnic grounds or immigration grounds. That's what's held workers back in the past. We've had to overcome that in the past. We have to overcome that again now.
Correct.
Yeah. How about this legalization move in Congress? Do you see Bush signing it, even if it has these punitive felony provisions in it, when they after they go to conference committee? What do you think?
Listen, I am encouraged by what I have read in the paper the president's wishes to be. And nowhere do I read in his statements that the punitive measures are acceptable to him. At the same time, I must be truthful, I haven't seen him repudiate them other than by omission. He doesn't go for that. I would say to you, that I don't think it would get by him he would not sign a bill that has these massive, deep-cutting, what is it? What did you say? The
provisions.
Provisions for castigating people that help the undocumented.
Can you do a line item veto?
Like, I wondered, yeah, is he able to line item?
I'm not sure. It depends on the bill, I suppose.
I don't know if they can do it.
I don't know that much about it.
Yeah, I haven't heard that. Yeah.
But if there's even the slightest form of another terrorist attack against this country, all those things, all those draconian measures will have a much greater potential of being passed.
Well,
that's the danger here. And you know who's going to be we all know who's going to be scapegoated for that. Of course, it'll in their minds, in the minds of the neo fascists out there, the nativists and so on, confirm everything that they've said. And then I think just as Bush backed down before after 9/11, when he had a much more quote liberal unquote plan for amnesty and so on, and that went by the way. So it would be even worse next time. So this organizing that we're doing, let's just hope that it continues, and it's not a flash in the pan. I don't think it is. But
don't you think the million or so, whatever, half a million to a million people that came out the previous Saturday in L.A., that had an impact on the Senate vote?
I don't know. I was looking and just reading in the Times and the other day, their article said it didn't seem that the hardliners are digging in. So, but I would think at some point it has to if it gets to the point where people stop working. If they really use that economic power that those numbers imply, then I think things will change. And I just hope that we can organize to where we can get to that point where we can do that if it's necessary.
Well, aren't you, Amin and other people also, are we planning for this May Day thing?
Well, you know, this is going to be a topic of conversation for Los Amigos and how we're going to do it. We're going to get more information about the structure, mechanics of it, and so forth. To diffuse it, to go to it, it would be very appropriate that we do it on May 1st. May 1st falls on a Monday.
And that was a plan to not work that day, right?
That's a day without a Mexican, I think is the name of it.
So would that
really
mean
it should be a day without an immigrant?
How about Mansour claims he said he's an immigrant too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have some immigrants on the other side.
Well, I think he comes from immigrant parents, but I don't think he's himself immigrant.
Well, we're all immigrants from immigrants.
Of course,
you
go back enough.
Are we all occupiers?
We're all occupiers.
Occupiers, whatever. How about this idea that you know, at the march, they were talking about how I was thinking, I'm sorry, not at the march, but if on that day, you know, would you encourage people to leave school too? I mean,
students? The school is, I have a little problem with. I have a big problem with that. I think we should not cause rupture of what we've been preaching most all our life about the way to break the chains of poverty and ignorance is through school. I have a problem with that. I do.
Well, I'm
need to debate it a lot more.
I work at a university. I'm an educator, but I think it was impressive to see so many students stand up for their rights.
Well, I see it as part of the educational process.
Okay.
And I think that you know, they can make those days up. Maybe they'll have to go to some summer school or something, but and that's fine. But I think what they did was so responsible and so such a great example of participatory democracy, and a lot of schools took advantage of that situation to discuss those kind of issues in school and to capitalize on that. And I
Correct.
Thought that was wonderful.
Yeah, well, you're right. And perhaps you know, we need to do that to make the dent in the schooling system to make them aware.
Yeah, because always, you know, here at UCI, people are always complaining that students don't do anything political, and aren't activists anymore. And
yeah,
this movement runs counter to that.
I felt really proud to see those students out there doing that. You know, I thought I was really surprised how well organized they were, and they were better organized than some of us sometimes. And,
yes.
I thought it was
wonderful.
MySpace, I think the papers focused on some Garden Grove students that went on MySpace and organized people through that internet forum that lots of students are members of, I guess.
Right, right.
So it was more effective than some labor unions and other activists.
Yeah, I think I that's right. I think at times that's true. I don't usually find the internet to be that effective and organized. It's more of an informative kind of laying the base kind of process. But they were using it as a form of direct organizing. It was very interesting.
So what's your plan? I mean, for Los Amigos, you're going to have you meet every week,
every
don't
Wednesday.
You? Still? Every
yeah,
Wednesday.
Every Wednesday we meet and we dialogue, we talk, and so forth. And we're hoping Nativo would come and further expand on it like he did last week.
It's an open meeting. Anybody can come.
Of course. Absolutely.
What? Where are you meeting?
We meet at the Jaeger House Restaurant. It's a restaurant right at Ball and the 57 Freeway.
Is that in
Anaheim.
In Anaheim. Okay.
And we begin at 7:30 in the morning.
Yeah, and I would certainly encourage people to go to that. And I also
Absolutely.
Want to point out that we have the Colectivo Tonantzin also has organizing meetings every Saturday at Isabel's restaurant on the corner of 19th and Placentia. And we meet there with a lot of day laborers or families and so on. And
wow.
We have a real wonderful thing going on there. So we've had public forums, informational forums. In fact, we even had Jim Gilchrist, appear and get a lesson in constitutional rights from the ACLU at one of our forums.
Excellent.
So you are welcome to come to that. And we'll be having a festival and demonstration on the 13th of May in Costa Mesa, starting at that same location.
Okay.
At the City Hall, yeah.
No, starting at 19th.
Oh,
at Placentia. Yeah.
What time is the Saturday meetings?
They're at 4 p.m.
4
p.m.,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming
on. Thank you, Dan, for having
the
diligence to do this.
And we'll keep in touch.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Bye, John. Amen.
Bye. Bye, Amen.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, John. And we'll keep looking for your news on your newspaper.
Yeah, that's OCOrganizer.com is the website version. And right now we're getting literally thousands of visitors a month.
And there's an immigration, a really good resource there on immigration materials. There's a whole section devoted to immigration.
Right, and there's an interview there with Professor Gilbert Gonzalez, who is here at UCI regarding his book and research, and Raul Fernandez's research as well, his co-author on the immigration issues. Very interesting. Check it out.
This is Dan Zhang signing off for this new edition of Subversity here, the first edition of the spring quarter, I believe. It's a new schedule, but we're on the same time, same place, same person. And we have a website too called it's at kuci.org/tildeDTSANG. kuci.org/tildeDTSANG. And there you can find audio of some of the previous shows, including earlier shows of John Earle of OCOrganizer.com.